Well, welcome everyone to the webcast. Just for the purpose of the recording, it's Wednesday, the 25th of March, 2020. And my name's Mark Jide. And wow, haven't been on the webcast for a few weeks because a couple of weeks ago I was in Poland doing an A school. We had an absolutely wonderful time on that school. It went really, really well. But then, of course, everything changed on the Friday evening when the news came through that the Polish government were closing the airports and to foreigners. First of all, we thought it was to people coming into Poland. Then we found out it was to people going out of Poland, which obviously was us. And so we had to rearrange a train to Berlin and then a flight from Berlin. But we got home. We got home a day early, and I was very glad to be home. I've never been so glad to be home. So, yeah, suddenly everything changes. I mean, you know, I was on the webcast a few weeks ago, and how things are different now to what they were just those few weeks ago. And it really is incredible. And I found myself just over the weekend thinking of the story of Noah. And that's really what I want to talk about this evening, is starting in those early chapters of Genesis, in the story of Noah. And I just felt drawn to that again, just that story. I was just thinking about what was going on in the world, and went back to that story. Because, of course, that story is about the eternal covenant the Father has with us, his children. And it was set in place so beautifully by God the Father, right in those early chapters of Genesis. What made me think about this, or start to think about this, was the fact that a number of people, I don't know what's going on in your countries, but in the UK, a number of people are putting paintings or pictures of rainbows in their front windows as a sign of hope. And, you know, they obviously don't know that it's the covenant of our Heavenly Father. But obviously the rainbow, you know, historically has been the sign of hope. And we've seen the rainbow hijacked over the last few years. And really what started me thinking of this was when people were putting the rainbow back in their front window as a sign of hope, I thought, yes, we are reclaiming what is rightfully ours. We are reclaiming the covenant, the promise, the faithfulness of God the Father, which belongs to us, his children. And it was out of that that I started to think of the story of Noah. And I read it and reread it over the last few days. And I just want to really just pull a few things out of there and then out of one of the Psalms. And then towards the end, Barry and I want to pray for you guys together. But obviously the story of Noah, it's very, very familiar to us. You know, God declares that it will rain and there will be a flood, and that flood will wipe out all of, well, basically everything that's living, everything that's outside of the ark of the, and we know that Noah builds the ark, and he puts his family and the animals inside it, and they're kept safe. But right before Noah is instructed to build the ark, what we read is, you know, right before, right at the very, very beginning of this story, we hear these words that God speaks. He says, "I will establish my covenant. I will establish my covenant." Right at the beginning of the story, before the flood, before the devastation, before everything is destroyed, God the Father says, "I will." And whenever God says, "I will," he does. And we can rest in the assurance of those words. You know, I will establish my covenant. And he also goes on to say, "I will provide for you and your family, Noah, a safe place, a safe haven." See, whenever God says, "I will," he does. Now, he also says some other I wills in that passage. He says, I will destroy every living creature. You know, we can't get away from that. And of course, when he says I will, he does. And he's true to his word on that as well. Now, I don't want to talk about the judgment or that tonight, but I really want us to focus on his covenant of love, his everlasting covenant of love. Because that covenant is as strong for you and me as it was for Noah back in the day. You know, that covenant of love has never changed. In fact, the covenant of love existed before God the Father spoke it in Genesis chapter 6. The covenant of love was established before the beginning of time when God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit decided they wanted to share the love they experienced together and the relationship they experienced, that they wanted to share that with a family. And that's us. You see, God created the earth and everything in it out of a covenant of love. And we live in that covenant of love. And really all God is doing in this story with Noah is reminding Noah of the promise, of the covenant. And as far as God is concerned, a covenant is unbreakable. A covenant never changes. A covenant is rock solid, guaranteed. You know, we talk about a covenant, we make a covenant, you know, many people make a covenant of marriage, and sadly for one reason or another that covenant is broken. But when God says, I will establish my covenant, he means it's established forever. And, you know, I really do want to emphasize for us today that we live in the center of his covenant with his people. You know, the world is crazy. The world is crazy. I mean, who would have thought that it could change so rapidly within such a short period of time? And in a sense, almost outside of the control of man's influence, you know, it's just changed. And there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of questions, a lot of doubt. People are being rocked and shaken. But brothers and sisters, we live in the center of an unshakable covenant. And it's a covenant of love. And that's what's so beautiful. That's what's so precious. That's what, you know, the Father, it's like the Father created an environment. And that's where we live. We live in this environment, in this covenant of love. And what we see in the story of Noah is that everything that man has created, all of the works of man, are destroyed. But God the Father provides a safe place for Noah, for his family, and for his creation. And, you know, they're kept safe as the flood waters rise. And, you know, we know the story. But at the end of the story, when Noah and his family and the animals have come out of the ark and back on dry land, or maybe muddy land or whatever it was like, you know, God comes to Noah and he establishes that covenant with him again. And what he says is, he says, never again will I curse the ground. Never again will I destroy all living creatures. And we live in a time, we live in a period of history where it feels as if everything is being destroyed. It feels like we're under a curse, you know. It feels like, you know, we have this invisible enemy that we don't know where it's going to spring up. We don't really know how to fight it. But yet we have a promise from our Father that says, never again will I destroy all living creatures. And in the uncertainty, in the doubt, that is our confidence. You know, and of course, you and I are going to be affected. You know, we are going to, you know, I went shopping today and I had a shopping list and, you know, basically Fiona said, well, this is what I would like, but get what you can. And, you know, I went around the shop and I didn't get necessarily everything I wanted, but I got what I needed, or I got what we could make do with. And I'm just really reminded in this season when everyone's panicking and everything else, you know, our Father promises to give us our daily manna. There is manna for you and me every day. You know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. And for some people, that at the moment is a very, very real prayer. And I just want to, I want to encourage you. I want to say to you that we have a Father who will give us our daily bread. You know, we have manna from heaven. We might have to be a little bit creative, but we have a Father who promises to give us our daily bread. And, you know, we've got this promise. And at, when Noah comes out of the ark, what we see as well is we see a promise of the continuity of creation. Everything that God the Father has made will go on being created. You know, it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be cold and heat. There will be summer and winter. Day and night will never cease. You know, as long, this is our Father's promise. As long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be summer and winter. There will be cold and heat. Day and night will never cease. You know, Monday night, our Prime Minister in the UK, he announced very, very serious measures to the nation. Restrictions that I've never seen or experienced in my lifetime. Very, very serious situation, obviously. And, you know, of course, Monday night we go to bed with that ringing in our ears and you know, I suppose the shock of what was announced. And I know many other countries around the world, many other people who are watching this now, the same sort of restrictions have been put onto you as well. And Tuesday morning, I woke up and I was lying in bed and I was just thinking, wow, this is the first day that everything has changed. This is the first day of it being different. This is like, you know, I wonder what it will be like. And I opened the blinds of our bedroom and I looked out of the window to our garden. And you know what? Nothing had changed. The birds were still singing. The flowers were still coming up. There was blossom on the trees. I looked out of the front of the house and the hedgerow was coming into blossom, into green. And I looked and I thought, wow, nothing has changed. And I thought, isn't this interesting? Everything of man is being shaken, but everything that God created goes on. It endures. It's still the same. And I was so encouraged to look outside and see, well, actually, nothing has changed. You know, it was, the garden was the same on Tuesday as it was on Monday. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of our Father's faithfulness to us. That nothing, in one sense, nothing has changed. In one other sense, in another sense, everything's changed. But in this sense of who our Father is, nothing has changed. And I was so encouraged just to see that picture so visually as I looked out across the garden that, you know, actually what really matters, it's still the same. because our Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, our eternal inheritance is as rock solid as it was last week. And for me, that was just such an encouragement that God hasn't changed. And what God has created, he said was good. He said it was very good. And that is going on. That is enduring. That is lasting. And yeah, everything, a man is being shaken. And who knows? Who knows? Who knows what it's going to be like when all this is over? I mean, I really believe that creation is taking a deep breath at the moment. You know, there's no aeroplanes in the sky. The pollution levels are right down. The canals in Venice are clear water. And I just believe that creation is breathing. You know, what God has made is being given a chance to breathe. And, you know, we read in Romans 8 that creation is waiting in eager anticipation for the sons of God to be revealed. And it's like there's a groaning in creation. And we know from reading Romans that that's only satisfied when sons and daughters filled with the love of the Father rise up. So I was encouraged. I felt my faith was stirred. I felt I was drawn back to what really matters. I felt I was put back on a solid foundation. And I really want to encourage you guys that we do have a solid foundation. And we can just look at the things around us and we can see that our God has not changed. I watched a little clip of Billy Graham speaking a number of years ago now, and I posted it on Facebook, and it was called, you know, God is still on the throne. And, you know, when we woke up on Tuesday morning, God the Father is still on the throne. And you know what? That's the best news we can hear. Because our hope is in him, not in the world systems, not in the financial systems, not in the stock market. Our hope is in him. And I know things are difficult for some people. You know, I know the shops are empty. I know we've got restrictions on us. I know there's a lot of madness out there. But our God, our Father, is still on the throne. And the sad, well, you know, the good thing about a crisis like this is it brings the best out in people. The sad thing is it brings the worst out in people. And we have to live with that tension. And we see it so acutely at times like this. You know, that tension between the best in people and the worst in people is always there. But it's at times of crisis like this that we really see it. And I want to encourage you just to focus on the good things that are going on, because there are many, many good things that are going on. Yesterday, our government asked for volunteers to help the National Health Service. They were looking for 250,000 volunteers. Well, within 24 hours, they've had over 400,000, you see, because I was just amazed. I thought, Father, thank you that there's a willingness in people to do good. And I just was amazed at that. That is very, very encouraging. So I looked out the window, I saw this physical demonstration of the faithfulness of the Father. I saw his blessing, I saw his fruitfulness. I was reminded of those words that God spoke to Noah when he came out of the ark. He said, I will remember my covenant for all generations to come. See, when God says, I will, he does. And he says, I will remember my covenant. It's a covenant for all generations. Brothers and sisters, the covenant that he established at the beginning of time is still in force today. And it's a covenant of love. And we live in it. I was having thought about the story of Noah and the covenant being remembered, and it's a covenant that lasts through all generations, It's a covenant of love. I was just reminded of Psalm 33. And we're not going to read the whole psalm. You might want to read it later. But Psalm 33 is a beautiful psalm of praise to the Lord. But it's also reminding him and reminding us of the steadfast faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. I mean, let me just pull out some of the bullet points, if you like, from Psalm 33. It says, you know, let the earth fear the Lord. You know, never, I don't think in my lifetime has there ever been a sense of us needing to fear the Lord. That doesn't mean to be frightened of him in the sense of that sort of fear. When it talks about the fear of the Lord, it's talking about the reverence and the worship of the Lord for who he is. And I think, you know, we are living in a day when humanity really needs to fear the Lord. When humankind needs to recognize and come before the Lord God in worship and reverence. And I hope as sons and daughters, I hope there will be, even if things are difficult, and I know things are difficult for many people, but I hope even in these challenging times, there can be worship rising in our hearts to our Father, to the Lord of hosts, to who he is. You know, I decided that I wouldn't listen to the news on the way to work. I am going to work. There are certain things I can do at home. There are certain things I can only do in the office. So I'm going to work. I'm trying to look after my staff who are also coming in. We're working flexible hours, shifts, and so on. But I was decided I wouldn't listen to the news on the way to work, but I would just listen to some worship, because I want my heart to be pointed in the right direction. And Psalm 33 encourages us, you know, let the earth fear the Lord, let the earth worship the Lord, let the earth have reverence towards him. You know, my next bullet point I just draw out of that psalm is the Lord foils the plans of nations. Wow. The Lord foils the plans of nations. I guess we can say that's happening at the moment, you know. Amazing, you know, such incredible season that we're living in. And many, many plans that man has made are being brought to nothing. And then there's this verse that I particularly want to draw out, because I really believe it's true for us. It's our hope. And I want us to build our lives on this. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purpose of his heart through all generations. I'm just going to turn up that verse. I want to get it really right, because it's such an important verse for us. It's a foundation. It's, you know, I want us to take hope from this verse tonight. It's Psalm 33, it's verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read both verses. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. I never thought I would quote those words with the reality of what we're facing being so real to us. But for many people all around the world at the moment, famine is quite a serious problem. And, you know, what we read is a king cannot save himself by his own strength or by the size of his army. But the Lord looks on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. And it's that unfailing love that sustains us and carries us and holds us. And really, it was, you know, that verse, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. You know, God's plan has never changed. God is not fazed by the problems we're facing at the moment. You know, God knew this was coming. He's not panicking. He's not in a crisis. He is on the throne and he is in complete and utter rest. He is in complete and utter peace. And I know we face many, many challenging situations, and we have no idea really how long it's going to last. But our Heavenly Father is on the throne and he is in complete and utter rest and peace. And it says in Psalm 33, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And brothers and sisters, today I want to encourage you to put your hope in his unfailing love, to put your trust in him, to wait and hope for the Lord. I was thinking about this. I'm encouraging you to put your hope in his unfailing love. What does that love look like? What is this love that we're seeking to rely on at this time? Because I want us to understand what, you know, the solidity and the strength that we're able to draw from. See, we are trusting. I'm encouraging you, I'm encouraging me to trust in his unfailing love. Exodus 34 says he is compassionate. You know, first and foremost, he is a God of compassion. He is a God of love. He is a compassionate Father and he cares deeply for us. He cares deeply for every person who is alive today. He wants them to be provided for. He wants them to be safe. You know, he is a compassionate, loving Father. He is gracious. He is gracious, you know, and as we go through this challenging time together, let's just pray for the grace and the mercy of our Father. Yeah, he is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He is faithful. You know, when we come to him and we put our hope in his unfailing love, we're putting our hope and our trust in his compassion, his grace, his slowness to anger, his unending love, his faithfulness. See, that's the God, that's who God is. That's how he revealed himself to Moses. And you know, that's the love that we are trusting in and relying on. 1 Corinthians 13 says, you know, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. Love protects. It trusts. It hopes. It perseveres. And it never fails. And we have a Father who protects us. We have a Father that perseveres on our behalf. And we have a Father who never, ever fails. And there is so much uncertainty in the world. There is so much failure in the world. But our Father is faithful. Our Father's love never fails. And this is who God the Father is. This is the one we come to. This is the one we love. This is the one we trust. This is the one who is for us. This is the one who longs to pour his love into our hearts, that we would know the security of his dwelling place, that we would make his dwelling place our home. You know, he who hides in the shelter of his wings, that, you know, you and I would find refuge in that safe place where we're protected and guarded by our Father. And really, that's really just what I wanted to say, what I wanted to share with us this evening, is that our Father is faithful. And he said to Noah, "I will. I will establish my covenant." And when he says, "I will," he does. And that covenant is still established for you and me. We live in the center of that covenant. It's a covenant of love. It's a covenant of provision. It's a covenant of faithfulness. Whilst there is massive change all around us, I want you to see that in some ways, nothing's changed. God is still on the throne. God is still our Father. You know, I was just reminded of that verse that Barry quotes regularly in Matthew. You know, look at the birds of the air. They don't have a worry. They don't have a care. You know, look at the flowers. They just keep growing. You know, I walked downstairs yesterday morning. Our dog didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, he just wanted to be petted and he wanted to be taken out for a walk. He didn't have a clue that everything had changed. He was just being himself, you know. And maybe next week I'll talk about living in an uncertain world and how we face uncertainty. But, you know, I just felt like I saw that picture of that visual, physical picture of the faithfulness of our Father, that everything's changed, but in one very, very real sense, nothing has changed. And that's really what I want to leave with you today, is that the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart are established through all generations. And the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who put their hope in his unfailing love. And what I'd like you to do in a moment is Barry's going to come back on. And I just want, I really do understand that many people are facing a number of concerns, a number of fears. If you've got a concern, a personal concern, if you've got a personal fear that you're just prepared to pop in the chat box, can I encourage you just to do that? Because in a moment, Barry and I are just going to pray together a blessing on you, that you would know God's faithfulness for you, that you would know his provision for you, that you would rely on his compassion, his grace, his faithfulness, his kindness. You know, if you are I'll be honest with you, a few days ago I was struggling, and it's like the foundation of my life had, well, it had been rocked. And you know, I had to come back to that place of trusting my Father. There was panic at work. You know, the government had been wonderful. They promised to pay 80% of salaries, which is an absolute unheard of thing. It's brilliant, it's amazing, it's wonderful, but there's a big question. You know, how does it happen? And I'm not just thinking of my business, I've got 200 clients to advise on how it happens. And at the moment, we don't know. And I was really in this state of, you know, I felt like I'd been shaken and it had been rocked. And I had to come back to that place of saying, "Father, you are faithful." I had to come back to that place of putting my hope in his unfailing love. You know, I had to come back to that place of trusting in him. And so if you've just got things you want to pop in the chat, you know, Barry and I are just going to just start praying through some of these things, and that we together would rest in our Father's faithfulness, because he is faithful, he is loving, his plans will stand firm forever, and he has established his covenant of love with you and me. So I'll just pray and then Barry will join in. We just want to pray through some of these things. But Father, first of all, I want to thank you that you are faithful. Father, I thank you that you established a covenant with Adam. You established a covenant with Noah. You established a covenant with Abraham. And Father, you have established that same covenant with us through Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are a faithful God. We thank you that you're a faithful Father. We thank you that you are compassionate, you're gracious, you're slow to anger, you're abounding in love. And we just want to bring, Father, some of these concerns to you. And Father, we just want to bring them to you and say, you know our concerns, you know our fears. And Father, I just ask that you would give us our daily bread. Father, daily bread of food, our daily bread of healing, our daily bread of safety and protection. That Father, we would only look for what we need each day rather than worrying about the future. So Father, I pray your blessing on my brothers and sisters. I pray for your provision. I pray for Carol's grandson, Adam, with that temperature. Father, that you would bring it right down and you would wash that away. Father, for Stu, who needs a health checkups, for provision, for fragile relationships. Father, we pray for these things. And thank you that you are faithful, that you are true to your word. And Father, we just ask that we would find the resting place, our resting place in your love, because that's the safest place to be. Thank you, Father, that you're good and that you have established a covenant of love with us.